A jobs bill heads to the president, but will it work?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. 68 senators, including a handful of Republicans, voted today to approve an $18 billion bill full of enticements for businesses to create new jobs. President Obama says he will sign it. From Washington, Marketplace's John Dimsdale says the question now is, will these tax breaks employ many people?
The bill would lower the cost of hiring new workers, but the incentive only covers those who've been unemployed for 60 days or more. How does it work? Employers won't have to pay the usual 6% Social Security tax for that new worker this year. Critics say the tax break will go for jobs that businesses will create anyway. And New Hampshire Republican Judd Gregg points out the bill adds to the deficit.
When are we going to stop spending money around here as if there's no tomorrow? Because pretty soon there will be no tomorrow for our children.
Democrats, though, like New York's Charles Schumer, appealed to the GOP's traditional support for business.
My Republican colleagues are opposing a tax cut to business, large and small, that hires people.
The bill also includes $20 billion to keep highway repair workers employed across the country. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The government said this morning wholesale prices fell steeply last month. Another sign there's no inflation and interest rates will stay low. And the S&P 500 and NASDAQ are up more than 0.5% this morning. The Dow is 47 points higher at 10,732. European stocks also gained 0.5% today and Asian markets rose more than 0.5%. The once mighty video rental chain Blockbuster said yesterday it may need to file for bankruptcy protection. Blockbuster said its auditors have raised doubts about its ability to stay in business. Joining us to talk about this is the U.S. retail correspondent at the Financial Times, Jonathan Birchall, with us live from New York City. Hello.
Hello.
Jonathan, Blockbuster has known for years about the challenge from the internet and Netflix and kiosks. Why could they not adapt?
Well, they've had a lot going on over the last 10 years. Netflix has grown enormously. In the last quarter, it gained 1 million subscribers at a time when Blockbuster lost 16% of its sales. It's had the kiosks from Redbox coming up on the inside. And at the same time, it's been encumbered with a huge lump of debt that it was left with when it was spun off from Viacom in 2004. That, plus the confusion about which direction we're actually going in, has left them exposed to those competitors.
And how is Blockbuster trying to save itself now?
Essentially, it's doing a couple of things. It's trying to sell off its European operations. It's trying to cut its debt load by trying to persuade bondholders to exchange their bonds for shares. And it's also trying to get better terms from the Hollywood studios, or at least to maintain the supply of DVDs from the Hollywood studios, to the point that it's even putting up its Canadian operations, it's discussing putting them up as collateral against the delivery of DVD supplies. But that's a pretty desperate situation to be in.
Yeah. So is the physical video rental store dead, Jonathan?
Well, the CEO of Blockbuster, Jim Keyes, he built his career at 7-Eleven, and he's basically a stores guy. And since he's arrived, he's always argued that there's a future in the physical stores. He's tried to use the stores to sell peripherals and game machines and other technology, etc. So he believes in the stores and believes that they have a future. Personally, I have to wonder about it. When you look what happened to music stores, when you look at the trouble that booksellers are having, do you really need to go to the video store when you can download it or get it by mail?
The Financial Times, Jonathan Birchall. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. By Discovery, from the producers of Planet Earth comes Life, premiering Sunday on Discovery Channel and narrated by Oprah Winfrey, 8 p.m. Sunday on the Discovery Channel. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
This week, the FCC unveiled a plan to expand high-speed internet access. But how do you know you're getting all the speed you've been promised? LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, good morning.
Good morning.
So it's not that simple. Your velocity may vary.
Yes, indeed. Your speed may vary. And interestingly, the FCC is taking a kind of census of internet speeds nationwide right now. They want everybody to go to a website called broadband.gov. You go there and you can do a free test of your computer using the FCC system now to find out what the download and upload speeds are. In other words, how fast things come to your computer, how fast things go from your computer.
How does this test work?
Well, basically, you're going to connect to computers somewhere else because the FCC is trying to look for clusters of places where things slow down on the internet. And if you extrapolate just a little bit, you realize what they're also going to be looking at are the internet service providers in that area and whether they're meeting their promises of so-called up-to speeds. When you get internet service, typically they're going to say, oh, and your speed will be up to 10 megabits per second. But is it?
Are you up to speed?
I'd like to say I am. According to some of the tests, I'm over the speed. I talked to my internet service provider yesterday. I said, how can that be? He said, oh, well, you're turbocharged. What?
Sir, did you know how fast you were surfing?
Yes, exactly.
Where's the fire?
What that meant. But other tests I did showed me that I was a quarter of my up to speed. So clearly, there needs to be some kind of standard for these tests, first of all. But second of all, the FCC wants to create the same kind of system like when you buy a new car and there's a sticker on the window that has an average mileage. They want the exact same thing for broadband internet service. When you get the service, they want an average speed posted instead of that up to speed.
Isn't fast basically fast? Is there really anything at stake to figuring just exactly how fast you are?
Dude, if you're going to be downloading Avatar in 3D, you want lightning fast speed. If you're just visiting the Marketplace website, maybe you can go a little slower.
Okay, David Lazarus from the LA Times, thanks for bringing us up to speed.
You betcha.
And finally, a Virgin America flight to JFK got diverted Saturday because of high winds. The New York Post reports passengers sat on the tarmac in Newburgh, New York, for at least 4.5 hours, with each passenger allowed 4 Pringles chips and half a cup of water. Eventually, a local JetBlue crew boarded the plane and said buses were on the way. Passengers cheered heartily. Well, as heartily as you can cheer when you've only had 4 Pringles. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.